Patrick Mahomes empties the backfield. Three by two. Three left, two right of eligible receivers. Minimum protection. Mahomes firing. Chris Conley's got it back in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Conley has two regular season touchdowns. They are both against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Second and nine at the Steeler 19. Mahomes, comfortable throws for Kelce. Adjusts his route, makes the catch, and rolls into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City on two rolls of the dice. The Chiefs roll seven. Hunt, single setback. Sidecar position left. They motion Sammy Watkins, who's been the story of this first quarter. Flanker left. Hill right along with Conley. He's already got a touchdown. Mahomes takes it, dumps it to Hunt. Near side at the five. Trying to drag a defender into the end zone. He's got a touchdown! Kansas City! Kareem Hunt on the swing pass from Patrick Mahomes. Three drives, three touchdowns in Pittsburgh. And the Chiefs shift. Williams to the right. They have Kelce, Conley, Hill all left. So two by three as we view it, right to left. In the empty backfield, Mahomes steps up down the middle of the field. Caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. A perfect low post throw. Kelce's in the end zone for the second time in this game, and the Chiefs are back on the board after a second quarter absence. Sherman in, I formation. Two tights to the right side. Sherman, tip-tap motion left. Roll out to the right side, Mahomes. He fires it late, and the pass is going to be caught. Are they going to give it to him? Touchdown, Kansas City. DeMarcus Robinson, his first regular season NFL touchdown. Chiefs stay in the empty backfield, three by two. Chiefs offensive line, the tackles turning their inside ear to Mahomes to try to get the right protection call. Mahomes throwing left sideline. Pass is caught, Tyreek Hill. Touchdown! Kansas City on a streak pattern up the left sideline.
That's got to be the sweetest intro we've ever played for a guest on this show. No, it wasn't about the guests themselves, but I'm guessing that Matthew Derrick enjoyed that montage. How you doing, Matthew?
Hey, not too bad. How are you doing today? It's good to hear that first thing in the morning.
Oh, isn't it, though? It's amazing. You sometimes got to pinch yourself and say, did that really happen? And it happened in Pittsburgh. Matthew Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com is with us to talk Chiefs football. We've had Matthew on a few times before. We always enjoy having him and taking the time to be with us. And, you know, last time you and I talked is before the season began, and we were concerned about the defense, and we certainly knew Mahomes is capable of making plays. You know, I've been on the bandwagon all along from the standpoint of let's give the keys to Mahomes. Mahomes, you moved up 17 picks not to have him sit for 2 years. And I like the potential, but let's be honest. Nobody saw this coming. 10 touchdowns in 2 weeks, no interceptions, more touchdown passes and incompletions at Pittsburgh. Is this a dream or is this reality, Matthew? This seems crazy to think that the Chiefs have actually drafted a quarterback, are developing him, and after three starts in the NFL, he's 3-0.
Yeah, it's reality for now. We'll see if anybody ever wakes up from this. But, hey, it's going to get harder. It will not always be this easy. That's not the way the NFL is. But what these two games have told you is it does just reiterate and it enforces the idea that this is the guy. You know, Andy Reid's been sold on the fact that this guy is the guy for a while. Brett Veach is sold. You know, they think this guy's going to be special, and you can see that. And like I said, it's not always going to be this easy. He's not going to throw 80 touchdowns this year. I think I'd take the under on that.
Okay.
But, you know, hey, he's going to win a lot of football games. I mean, he absolutely is. And you build a team around him, and this is clearly a quarterback that can be something special.
Before the year, my projections for Mahomes was 4,100 yards, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. With this Chiefs defense, that still might not be enough to win the division, make the playoffs, although I picked the Chiefs to win the division and maybe win a wild card game, and Mahomes would be good enough to do that. And I'm still concerned about the defense, and we'll get to that in a moment. But now I think we have to revise these numbers, or at least I need to. After two games, there's talk already nationally about Mahomes breaking the touchdown passing record for touchdown passes in a season held by Peyton Manning with 55. Is that overreaction, or is that a legitimate possibility with Patrick Mahomes?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, hey, you throw 10 in your first two games, you put yourself in a pretty good spot there. I mean,
yes.
You know, that's a pretty good start. So you gotta get a jump on everything. So yeah, I mean, you're you're already a good chunk there, so it puts a lot of things into play. But yeah, I mean, it's overreaction in the sense that, like I said, I was saying earlier, it's not always going to be this easy. And some of this is the situation of circumstance. I mean, you don't think you're going to be into every game where you have to score 38, 42 points to win. Maybe this team will, and so maybe that does influence it a bit. But the real key is what happens next. What happens four or five games in, once other teams really get a beat on what Andy Reid's doing with this offense, once they get some scouting on Patrick Mahomes and how they make their adjustments, the next key is how does he adjust to that? And that's where, his career this season, a lot of things are going to be determined, I would say, about midway through this season once Mahomes has to start making adjustments to how teams are playing him differently.
Mahomes named AFC Offensive Player of the Week for the second straight week. Of course, the 6 touchdowns, 23 of 28 for 326 yards. The one thing that many people want to do, and this is just the way we are in society, is we see something and we say, who can we compare that person to? And I keep hearing, well, he's a gunslinger. He's like Brett Favre. I've kind of bought into the mentality. That's a decent comparison. But Brett Favre was reckless with the football. So far, Patrick Mahomes is not reckless with the football. I've heard people compare him to Dan Marino when he first started in the league in regards to the strength of his arm. I've mentioned that he's got the poise. He seems to have really good composure for a young guy, and I compare that trait to Joe Montana. But quite honestly, there's nobody that's really played in the National Football League at the quarterback position like a guy like Patrick Mahomes. So should we just stop with this, well, he's like this guy, or he's this guy? How about he's just Patrick Mahomes and he's a freak of nature?
Yeah, I mean, if he becomes a great player, then, yeah, I mean, you're going to stop comparing him to others and you're going to start comparing the next generation to him. Yeah. So that's where that ends up and everything. You're right. I mean, I don't think there's an exact comparison. And, we're obviously projecting still. I mean, a lot of things can still happen, obviously Andy Reid's optimistic. He thinks this kid's going to keep growing, and in 2 or 3 years he's going to be something really, really special. But he still has work to do. So he's still, he's still a little bit of a lump of clay. I mean, he's molded a little bit, but he's got a ways to go. But I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, if you're going to engage in that debate and go that road, I probably think that the best comparison for me is probably Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. Because I think that they're very similar in a lot of ways. Obviously, it's the same system, so that helps. I think with the comparisons a little bit, but to me, it's about what you hope he becomes with the numbers. If he becomes a guy who can throw a lot of touchdown passes, throw a lot of yards, use his feet a little bit, but most importantly, not turn the ball over. That's what you're hoping he becomes.
Matthew Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com is with us to talk Chiefs football. One of the amazing stat to me with Mahomes, well, first of all, to me, 10 touchdowns, that's very impressive. But for a guy making his second and third career starts, and both of them on the road against what many people thought were AFC contenders, maybe even Super Bowl contenders, to play a game at L.A. against the Chargers, who have a solid defense, although Joey Bosa was out with injury, and to play at Pittsburgh, a place the Chiefs hadn't won in 32 years, and to not throw any interceptions. To me, that's the stat that impresses me maybe even more than the 10 touchdowns. The other stat that impresses me, he's thrown 10 touchdowns, but he hasn't locked on to one receiver. He has 7 different receivers that caught touchdowns through the first 2 weeks. That says a lot about his vision, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm with you on the interceptions. I think that's more impressive than any other stat. Because if you told me before the season that Patrick Mahomes was going to throw 10 touchdowns in his first 2 games, I'm like, okay, great. He threw, what, 4 or 5 picks, too?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done that. And other than maybe really 1 or 2 questionable decisions against the Chargers, I don't think he's really thrown any balls that were in any danger of being turned over. That's the most impressive thing, because what we saw in training camp and the things that we've seen over him the last couple of years, not in games, but just in practices, turnovers have been a problem. And Andy Reid said all along, don't worry about it. He's just testing what he can do. It's going to be okay. And so far that's proving right. But yeah, his vision is incredible. It helps that he has a lot of great targets. This is the best skill position group as a receiver group I think you can find in the league, from top to bottom. He's got so many options, and I think what we saw in the first 2 games, is you can't take away all these guys. You can try and, you know, bracket Travis Kelce 1 week. You can rotate your coverage over to Tyreek Hill the next week. Hey, you do that, you got Sammy Watkins. You've got somebody else who can make plays. You got Kareem Hunt. You got Chris Conley. You got DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, you've got other guys who can do it. And so, I mean, you've got three receivers who I think, you know, with Kelce in there, that are going to be that any one of them can go for 100 yards any week. And you've got other guys who can all be contributors and hey, even can catch a touchdown or pass or two here and there.
One of the big reasons why I was excited and all for Mahomes to be the quarterback this year instead of Alex Smith, there was one big reason. And that was when I study and watch the Chiefs play with Alex Smith. And I think Alex, great guy, good quarterback. But there's so many times where I watch Alex Smith when there was pressure. Sometimes there wasn't pressure. He would scramble when he didn't have to, but he would not keep his eyes down the field. And I watch a lot of Oklahoma Sooner football last year. Baker Mayfield, one of the great attributes that he has is he's really good moving his feet, but he keeps his eyes downfield. And that's something that Patrick Mahomes does a really good job of, as we just mentioned. But he makes plays. He's looking not just to make a play. He's looking to make a big play. And that might bite him later on this year. He'll make a couple of mistakes. But to me, that's where you can make big plays. When the pocket breaks down, if you keep your eyes up, the best quarterbacks that have played the game are guys that keep their eyes downfield. And to me, that's the biggest difference for me between Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, and why, to me, it made sense to go with Mahomes, because he's a guy that's going to give his receivers a chance to, as Tyreek Hill says, just keep running, man, and I'll get you the football.
Yeah, you know, they are very different in that respect. I mean, it's a difference in philosophy. Sometimes a little bit of it is obviously it's a different skill set, and then, you know, what you can do strength wise.
Sure.
Alex Smith built himself into a quarterback who could throw a deep ball, but he can really only throw that deep ball, you know, as part of the flow of the offense.
Yes. I mean,
he can do that if he's got Tyreek Hill on the outside, he sees him in man coverage, and he's got no safety help. He can give a signal and say, hey, just go. I'm going to throw it to you. And he can toss the ball 50 yards downfield on a dime, and it's a touchdown. What he can't necessarily do is Alex Smith is scramble out of the pocket and then throw it 50 yards downfield with the vision. I mean, that's something that Patrick Mahomes can do that Smith can't. You know, but conversely, you know, there are things that Alex Smith could do that Patrick Mahomes can't do yet. And he may get there. I mean, he's certainly showing that he's got the skill set and to make all the throws and make all the decisions. So he may very well get there that he can do all the things that Alex Smith could do and more. But you're right. I mean, at this point, they are two different quarterbacks. They can do different things. At this point in their careers, what you're probably going to find at the end of the season is that Alex Smith is the quarterback who might not win you some games, but he's never going to lose you one.
Yeah.
Whereas Patrick Mahomes is probably going to win you some games that he shouldn't, but he might lose some games that he shouldn't too.
Well, you're a defensive coordinator now, Matthew. How do you slow down this Chiefs offense? The first thought I had was, well, you bring pressure, you blitz. Well, the Steelers tried to do that, and Mahomes lit up the blitz. Now, granted, Pittsburgh isn't the greatest defensive team in the league. The Chargers, without Joey Bosa, not as good as they could be. They're going to face better defenses, namely Jacksonville coming up in October. You know this as well as anyone. Last year, the Chiefs had the hot start, looked unstoppable early in the year, winning in New England. There wasn't game film on Kareem Hunt, so the Patriots really couldn't prepare for him. But the more that Mahomes plays, there's more film on Mahomes, there's more tape on him, and teams will adjust. How do you think teams are going to go about trying to slow down this offense? Because as you mentioned, it's not just Mahomes. I mean, if he has an off day, he could always hand the ball off to Kareem Hunt or some swing passes to Kareem, and he can make plays.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a little bit counterintuitiveness about how you play Mahomes, and I think that right now we've seen a lot of defenses that, one, I think both these teams underestimated Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
So I think there's that. So, you know, defensive coordinators are going to finally start taking notice. They're going to say, hey, we've got to be prepared for this guy. It's not about trying to take care of Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. We've got to take care of Patrick Mahomes. And two, I think that they've typically have tried to defend Patrick Mahomes in the way that you do with most young quarterbacks, which is you bring pressure up the middle and, you know, you try and flush them out of the pocket and you frustrate them. Don't think you can do that with this kid. But what we have seen and the things that when he's made mistakes in training camp and practices, what we've seen has been when he's in the pocket, because that's where he's actually the least comfortable. He's very comfortable outside and getting out of the pocket and rolling around. So to me, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I try to keep him in the pocket. I try to get to the edge set so he can't escape to the outside. You know, force him to step up into the pocket. If you can get pressure there, great. But, you know, you're trying to get him to step up and throw a lot of zone at him because he just eats man coverage alive. He's played, you know, two teams that play a lot of man coverage. So, you know, if you're a defensive coordinator, you can throw some zone at him, get some spies over the middle that maybe he won't see. To me, that's how you get Mahomes uncomfortable doing things that doesn't like to do the most. And then two, you know, you give him some different looks that he just hasn't seen that much before. Chiefs have done a lot of that the last couple of years. I mean, they threw a lot of zone, they threw a lot of things at him in practice to try and prepare him for that. But hey, it's different in a real game. I mean, it is. So to me, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I play Patrick Mahomes like he's a 12-year veteran, not like he's a brand new rookie.
We talk so much about Mahomes and the touchdown passes, the lack of interceptions, the weapons that the Chiefs have, but I thought the offensive line against Pittsburgh did a really, really nice job. And we've talked about offensive line is not the best in football, but it's maybe a little bit underrated at times. And offensive line struggled early in the preseason, but man, right now, I thought doing a really good job, and that allows Mahomes to get a little bit more time to look downfield.
Yeah, I think you could probably say that they're doing just enough to get the job done. They've had some bad moments. I mean, they really, you know, there were some penalties that really put them in some bad situations against the Steelers and third and longs and everything. You know, I think they're still struggling on the ground. There really haven't been a lot of holes for Kareem Hunt. That would go a long way towards helping them hold on to the football longer, which in turn would, you know, take a little bit of the pressure off of the defense. And it helps that, hey, Patrick Mahomes is getting rid of the ball quickly. I mean, he's one of the fastest in the league when it comes to getting rid of the football. He's right there with Alex Smith. I mean, as far as, you know, speed from time to snap to time to throw, getting rid of it. And that helps, too. I mean, if you don't have to block that long. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes is certainly helping his offensive line by getting rid of the ball quickly. But they do need to do better. There's some things that they can clean up. You know, you say the offensive line can get better. Scoring 42 points, it actually can. I mean, I think there's actually room to grow with this group.
Okay, so let's shift to the concern, and that's the defense. And I know I texted you, and we were excited, you and I both, about what the Chiefs did in Pittsburgh. But if this team is going to be a bona fide Super Bowl contender, the defense has to get better. At least you would think, because Mahomes can't keep this up. As you mentioned, teams are going to catch up at times. He's going to have an off day here and there. And the Chiefs are not, more than likely, going to go 16-0. Let's talk about Bob Sutton. There was a lack of pass rush in this game against Pittsburgh. Now, they changed things up a little bit at halftime. They brought some more blitzes. And in fairness to Bob Sutton, he can't tackle. He's on the sideline. He can't tackle. Eric Murray with a bad miss on a blitz where Big Ben was dead for rights. But what about the defensive philosophy of the Chiefs? And the question during the offseason was, for the Chiefs, is it personnel or coaching? They decided it was personnel. Changed a lot of their personnel, but this defense looks, well, quite honestly, as bad as last year, if not worse.
You know, I think there's a couple of ways you could look at it, glass half full and glass half empty. You can certainly look at the stats and say, boy, this defense is absolutely getting torched. Giving up way too many yards, giving up way too many points. You know, there's nothing there. If you want to look at the glass half full, you can say, hey, you know what? Anthony Hitchens is doing a pretty good job against the run. Mm-hmm. They really took that element away from the Steelers. So they are looking like maybe they are a better run defense. In the secondary, they're a banged-up group. You know, you don't have Eric Berry. You don't have Daniel Sorensen. You've got Orlando Scandrick, who's playing 90% of the snaps, who only showed up a couple of weeks ago. You know, you think that you get to yourself, hey, we finally have got our starting defense out there. They're starting to get some time together. A lot of guys missed time in the preseason and training camp. You know, so you could say to yourself, hey, we're starting to get these guys together. You know, another part of this defense is, you know, that's been a problem is they've had to play 82 snaps in both of these two games. And absolutely some of that is you got to get a stop. If they get a stop, they get off the field. But the other part of it is that, hey, against the Steelers, the offense didn't have a drive that lasted any longer than seven plays. You don't want to necessarily slow your offense down and risk the chance of scoring. You're going to score if they give it to you and if it's there. But they just have to play better complementary football. And they did that a little bit in the second half. The offense was, you know, more deliberate. You know, they took more time. And they actually held the ball. I mean, they held the ball for, I think, 17 minutes in the second half. That helped take the pressure off that defense. And I think the defense did play better in the second half. They actually got a little bit better as the game progressed. But, you know, if you keep your defense out there for 82 plays, oh boy, they're going to give up yards. And like I said, you want to look at the glass half full. Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 60 times. Probably should have thrown for 600 yards if he's dropping back that many times.
Yeah, true. True. Sorry, I'm going to be Debbie Downer. Only got one sack in the 60 pass attempts.
The pressure is a problem.
Yes,
the pressure
yes.
is a problem.
Well, and speaking of that, let's talk about Justin Houston. Bob Sutton, Chris Jones, D Ford, Justin Houston all dropped back in the pass coverage at one point or another during that game against the Steelers. And let's give Bob Sutton at least a little bit of credit. I mean, they got a few stops in the second half, and they were able to, you know, get enough stops. And then the offense was fantastic and didn't turn the ball over. That helps, of course. But what about Justin Houston? It doesn't seem like his name is being called as much during games. They're saying during training camp, hey, he's perfectly healthy. He's ready to go. He's going to have a big year. But he's not really getting to the quarterback himself. Is this just a matter of Justin Houston's injuries have caught up to him? Or is it just simply that Houston is, like you said, tired and maybe they got to move him around a little bit more on the defensive line from one side to the other?
Well, that's the weird thing. I mean, you look at it and, you know, they're still doing the things Justin Houston that I know drive fans crazy, which is you drop him back into coverage and you have him doing some different things. And part of that is because, you know, you're going to have to do that from time to time. I mean, you know, if you're going to bring a four-man rush and D Ford's one of those guys, you've got three, you know, down linemen sometimes. Sometimes you're going with a two-man front. You bring a blitz, you know, you're going to bring it from somewhere else. I mean, you're going to have an outside linebacker that's going to drop back into coverage. And if you're going to do that, Justin Houston's the guy. You don't want D Ford dropping back to cover anybody. So he's your best all-around linebacker. So you're going to ask him to do some things from time to time that doesn't mean going after the quarterback. But also the really curious thing is that, you know, we were told all through the offseason, all through training camp, hey, we're going to get Justin Houston attacking the weak spot of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that through the first two games, what we've seen them do is the exact opposite. It's been D Ford attacking the weak spot of the offense, and Justin Houston's going up against the best competition he can find. And I still don't get that. I mean, I think that, you know, if you want Justin Houston to be productive and to really make a difference, he needs to be that guy that goes to the weak spot. And so far, we haven't seen that. I mean, they've done the exact opposite of what they progressed at professed they were going to do.
Could that be because he is dealing with an injury or something that's not quite right with him to where they feel D Ford's a better option to attack the weak spot of the defense right now?
It could be. I still think that a big part of it is just simply that they feel like he is their best all-around linebacker,
mm-hmm.
and they need to put him in a position to where he is going to make the most impact from that standpoint, whether it's, you know, they want to funnel the play a different direction because you're going to run away from Justin Houston if you run the ball. You're going to run towards D Ford. If you're going to have somebody drop back, it's going to be Justin Houston. I mean, they don't ask him to rush every single time. So, you know, to me, I don't think it's so much the injury because they're still asking him to do an awful lot and to play an awful lot of snaps.
Matthew Derrick at ChiefsDigest.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Let's look at the upcoming schedule. Yeah, you know, before the season, you looked at it, at the Chargers, at the Steelers, Niners at home, at Denver, Jacksonville at home, at New England. And we sat there and we looked at that and we go, okay, those are six really tough games. If the Chiefs could be 3-3 after six games, that'd be probably pretty good. And then you look ahead, week seven in Cincinnati, who's off to a 2-0 start, that'll be at Arrowhead. Denver, who's off to a 2-0 start, that would be at Arrowhead. These first eight games are tough. The second half of the schedule certainly seems to lighten up. Now that the Chiefs are 2-0 with wins at L.A., at Pittsburgh, San Francisco coming to town, what should be expectations now instead of 3-3 through six games? How greedy do we get?
You got to get pretty greedy. I mean, you're 2-0 in these two spots. You know, you've got some games that, you know, you think you should be able to win. You get a couple of home games in that mix. You know, the kids' schedule is pretty favorable there. Your only road trips, you know, between now and week eight are at Denver and at New England. Denver maybe looks a little bit dicier than maybe it looked a few months ago. The Patriots actually might look a little bit easier than maybe it looked a few months ago. The thing about all of these games in the first eight games is that all these other teams can score points too.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jacksonville's probably statistically right now the worst offense of the bunch, and they just put 31 on the Patriots in a win. So, you know, I think you're going to see some more shootouts. So unless the defense find a way to play better at home, which certainly possibly get a big crowd going, maybe that helps them. So maybe they get a little bit tighter on the home at home. But I think you're still looking at you're probably going to need to score 30 points every single game to win these.
Yeah,
this offense can do it.
Might have to score 40. That's what we predicted before the Steeler game, and then they went out and put up 42. The Niners come into town. The Niners play Minnesota tough week one. Niners are improved team with Garoppolo at quarterback. They've got a solid defense. They can run the ball. They beat the Lions in week two. How concerned are you that, you win two games, really, you have to really get up, big emotional win at Pittsburgh, haven't won there in 32 years, Pittsburgh's had your number, Mahomes, mania's taken over Kansas City, fans are going nuts, they can't wait to get there, they're probably tailgating right now, getting ready for the game on Sunday when the Niners come to town, but the Niners are no pushover. What are your thoughts on this matchup coming up on Sunday? Is there a chance that the Chiefs, believe it or not, have a little bit of a letdown?
You know, that's always possible. You could have a letdown after a big win like this against the Steelers on the road. This doesn't look like the kind of team that seems to be prone to that. I mean, we will see. But this seems like the kind of group, especially on the offensive side, that they're so confident right now. They got enough swagger that you think that, maybe they're going to get their comeuppance at some point. But right now they look pretty good. I mean, this group looks like it's ready to go out there and score an 80 point each week. You kind of think coming home against a team like the 49ers that this has got to be a win for the Chiefs. I'm definitely going to take them to win, probably by double digits. Niners are scary. I mean, I thought this game was going to be really tough before the season, and I think it still could be. I mean, they can sneak up on you. They just don't have the weapons to compete with the Chiefs. Garoppolo, I think, is going to be a good quarterback. He really has his moments. He looks nice at times. But outside, George Kittle's having a great season at tight end. But after that, the receivers are really, young and inexperienced, or, like Pierre Garçon, maybe just a little bit past their prime. Matt Breida in the backfield has been fantastic. That's probably the biggest thing to try and stop, is to be able to stop that run game. If you take away the run game and you really force the 49ers to go one-dimensional, then I think that's what you want. This game could go a couple different ways. Like I said, I think the Chiefs are going to win this one pretty comfortably, but you can't sleep on the 49ers. They can sneak up on you.
After 2 weeks of the season, and I don't want you to base this off potential. I want to base it off the eye test, what you've seen, what you know through the first 2 weeks, and considering who they played, who do you think is the best team in the AFC at this moment?
All things considered, I would not have thought this before the season, because I thought they were going to take a step back. I'm going to say Jacksonville.
I agree with you.
They've got the defense. We've always known that. The question is, the offense. And Blake Bortles is playing probably his best football of his career right now. If he does that, that's a terribly tough team. And like I said, I thought this was a team that might take a step backwards. Kind of played over their heads a little bit last year. They really, they dragged their quarterback with them at times. But Bortles, he got the contract. He seems confident. I think that playoff run certainly helped him. But right now, both sides of the ball, I think that's the best team in the AFC.
Bortles threw for 377 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Patriots this past weekend. If he plays like that, they're going to be very, very tough to beat. Do you think the Chiefs are the second best team in the AFC, or do you have somebody above the Chiefs?
The Chiefs they certainly have the best offense at this point. It's so tough to the call. I mean, I could make that argument that the Chiefs maybe are the second best right now. Even if they're 1-1, I'm still going to throw the Patriots in there. Mm-hmm. The other 2-0 teams, the 2-0 teams, outside Jacksonville, I think the Chiefs probably are the second best.
Yeah,
I don't think
agree.
The Bengals are that good. I think the Broncos are a bit of a paper tiger. I think they're going to fall off. The mm-hmm. Dolphins the same way.
Yep.
We'll see. But of the 2-0 teams, yeah, I think the Chiefs are the best, second best.
Okay. And the NFC, who do you think is the best team right now after 2 weeks?
It's got to be the Rams.
Yeah.
They seem to have it on both sides. They can score. Those guys on defense are playing together. If those guys on defense play together and they don't fall apart internally and start fighting each other, that team's going to go all the way. That's the trick. With all those egos and all the players that they have on defense, if they can keep them on the same side, that's a terrible team to face. They are a tough team. But that's half the battle is within the team itself.
Yeah, I agree with you. If they can keep all the malcontents happy, not a lot of adversity,
exactly,
they'll be really tough to beat. I agree with you. Okay, time for the off-the-wall question before we let you go. Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest with us, talk Chiefs football. So Patrick Mahomes wears number 15. He's probably your favorite Chief to ever wear number 15. Can you think of another Chiefs player that you liked or you remember wearing number 15?
Oh, gosh. Man.
It's a thin list. I'm going to just warn you.
Gosh, and I remember looking at the list and thinking, gosh, because I want to say, man, I'm blanking all the guys who wore 15. I want to say there was a receiver that was pretty good that wore 15.
Okay.
Maybe I'm mistaken about that, but gosh, I'm blanking on even remembering who wore 15 now.
I know, it's tough, and that's the same. That's what I went through as well. I had to look it up because I was thinking the only 15 I could think of was Todd Collins. That was the only one. He played quarterback for the Chiefs. He played, it seemed like, for everybody in the league, or so it seemed. But the one I forgot about, maybe this is the one you're thinking about, Steve Breston wore 15.
Yeah, that's actually who I was.
Was that who you were thinking of?
That was, yes.
Which he didn't have a long time or tenure with the Chiefs, but he was pretty solid when he was there.
It's a moment.
But, man, you talk about picking the right number. Patrick Mahomes, to be remembered as the best Chief of all time wearing a certain number, I think he could retire tomorrow and he'd be considered the greatest 15 ever.
You know, it's a weird number.
I guess
it is.
That's
the thing. I mean, there's not a lot of 15s out there.
No, they're not. The only other 15 I can think of that was any good at quarterback in the NFL would be Bart Starr. And after that, I can't even come up with another 15.
There's not a lot out there. I mean, they all seem to go for the 12s and the 14s or the 7s.
Yeah. I agree with you. Well, you are number one in our book, Mr. Derrick. Tell us about what you've been writing and what you have at ChiefsDigest.com so people can check it out.
Well, just got the story up this morning of Patrick Mahomes winning his second straight AFC Offensive Player of the Week award, and some stats in there about that, and, you know, and some of the trivia as well. The last Chiefs player to pull that off was, do you remember who it was?
Oh, how many?
You have to go back to 2005.
2005, Priest Holmes?
Larry Johnson.
Oh, yes, that
one. Last 2 weeks of 2005. So,
wow.
He's in pretty rare company with that. So, you know, we're breaking that down. We'll be talking to Andy Reid later today and have all the info from the press conference up and in the locker room. We'll let you know what's going on. I'm sure if we can find Tyreek Hill, we will ask him about the 49ers promoting Matt Breida as their cheetah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's good
a lot
stuff.
Going on.
That's good stuff, man. We always appreciate it. ChiefsDigest.com is a website. Check all that out. And, Matthew, it's an exciting time to be a Chiefs fan, no doubt about it. And we look forward to talking again later this Chiefs season.
Sounds great. Take care, Wade.
Take care. That's Matthew Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com.